Ladies and gentlemen, Father Thomas A. Matthews.
O Almighty God, creator of the universe, who has fashioned all nature and its laws, who holds the universe in your hands and placed the planets in beautiful and orderly array in the firmament, bless this invention of science. Of old, you sent your angels to earth with messages of hope and salvation to man. Now you have blessed man with the capability of so using the airwaves that human beings around the world can reach each other in the twinkling of an eye. Give us the wisdom to use this great instrument of communication to promote the peace, harmony, and welfare of our fellow man, and to bring the knowledge of your holy laws to an unbelieving world. Bless our men of science with the mentality to go on to greater achievements, and may their works give greater honor and glory to thy holy name. Amen.
The Rabbi Norman Fellheim.
O Lord and Father, humbly we invoke thy blessings upon this new enterprise in our city and upon the men who are responsible for its institution, its operation, and its ultimate success. May they grow from strength to strength in their service of this community, its people, thus earning the blessings which we invoke upon them this day. Amen.
The Reverend Harold Johnson.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we ask thy blessing and thy benediction upon those who are establishing within our community a new radio station which will reach out to the hearts of the people of our community and across the nation. We pray that it might be a fountain of entertainment, that it might be a source of inspiration and information. More than all, we pray that it might be a force for moral and spiritual righteousness within our community and in our world. Bless, we pray thee, those who are partaking in it, those who have interests in it, and bless us all, we pray, for the Master's sake. Amen.
Bless the folk who dwell therein.
And so it has come to pass that in these past few minutes, minute grains in the limitless hourglass of time, a radio station has been born. Born and dedicated to the people it will serve. On behalf of the San Bernardino Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, its manager, Maury A. Vroman, and its entire staff, we solemnly pledge that KITO will, to the best of its ability, with all deepest sincerity and the most modern facilities of its powerful signal, and with its policy shaped from the highest ideals of American broadcasting, will offer you, the listener, the very best listening entertainment each and every day of the years that lie ahead. That is our credo. That is our goal.
I've a very strange feeling I've never felt before. Tis a kind of a grind of depression. My heart's acting strangely, it feels rather sore. At least it gives me that impression. My pulses leap madly without any cause. Believe me, I'm telling you truly. I'm gay without cause, then sad without cause. My spirits are truly unruly.
On this inaugural broadcast, this ninth day of November, 1947, we are to be honored by the appearance at our KITO microphones of screen and radio's first citizen, the Mr. President of the American Broadcasting Company, whose program will be heard each Thursday night at 9 over KITO. The man of 100 unforgettable screen achievements, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's Ambassador of Goodwill, and San Bernardino's own Edward Arnold. It's with the deepest appreciation to the Mr. President program and to MGM that we're privileged to say, ladies and gentlemen, Edward Arnold.
Well, come on in. Don't stand there looking at me. His face full of wild brush won't bother you. I'm as harmless as a sage hen, just about half as pretty. Hey, wait a minute. Let me wipe my dust off this rock here. Sit down a spell. Make yourself at home. Ah, that's much better. My name? Well, sir, it's a funny thing about that. Don't believe I ever had one. Real one, that is. Leastways, I don't remember it if I did have one. So you just call me Valley, will you? You know, Paul Bunyan tagged that one on me quite a few thaws ago. When I told Paul I was going to let my roots grow in this valley, he stood and stared at me for a full minute. Then he turned on his boot heel and strode off. You know that overgrown woodcutter didn't speak to me again for 2 weeks? Yeah. Then one night when we were toasting our feet before the fire, he began to laugh. That laugh of Paul Bunyan was something to hear. They say that the next day there wasn't a flake of snow on the Sierra Mountains. They say that that laugh of his shook it right off and filled up all the little back valleys with lakes. Yes, sir. Now, I'm not saying this is so or not, but nevertheless, there are lots of little lakes back in those mountains. I never in my life have I heard a laugh so loud and as long as that one of Paul Bunyan's that night. Well, he just laughed right on for about 3 hours, and then he clapped me on the back with one of his tremendous hands, and he said, "Valley, yes." And that set him off again. And pretty soon tears were streaming down his face, and his great hands were like claps of thunder against the sides of his buckskin breeches. Finally, when his breath gave out, he stopped. "Valley," he said, "that's your name from now on. And if I've ever seen a man in love with a piece of country, Valley, you're that man. You know, we've been partners for a long time, but here's where we're going to part company. You'll never leave this valley. And I can't say that I blame you. It's a pretty little hunk of ground, but it's not for me. Now, don't you get your dander up. I like it here fine, but, well, I'm just not meant to breathe the same air for more than a few months at a time. I crave a change. It's people like you, Valley. People with roots who are most important to this great earth of ours." And then his voice rumbled soft and beautiful as he looked across the fire at me. "So lean back on your mountains and stretch your eyes across the land you've chosen, Valley. It's yours. And you belong to it." Well, sir, that's how I came to be called Valley, yeah? Don't ask me how old I am, because I don't rightly know. You see, there are times when I feel as fresh and young as the first spring morning. And then there are other times, times when great doors open in my memory. And I can look down endless corridors of time. When this happens, I'm doggone sure I must be about twice as old as a stump. Now, Paul Bunyan loved this country, like he said. But I've always felt that it scared him a little. Yeah, I think my valley was just a little too big and rugged for Paul Bunyan. Too big for Paul Bunyan? I can hear you saying that with a patch of disbelief in your face, sure. But that's exactly what I said. This country was too big for Paul Bunyan. Oh, I know how he grew up in the tall trees country. Wasn't I with him? And I've seen the breeze from the swing of his great axe tear tornadoes to little wisps of wind. But nevertheless, this wide, beautiful valley frightened him. You see, there's something breathtaking about the vastness of this country. There's something man will never conquer. There's something, shucks, you don't have to be told. You live here, too. Anyway, Paul Bunyan took off one day. He strode away toward the north, and I watched the huge hulk of him as he stepped across the hills. And then atop the tallest one, he stopped and turned and waved to me. And that's the last I've seen him. But in the meantime, the snows have come and gone on the mountains. Poppies have painted the hillsides, and the withering brown brush of summer has rubbed them out. And the mountains have probably moved just a little, and the valley has shifted its floor just slightly. But these are basic and unless interesting things. Much more has happened in the meantime. While I've lived in my valley and awaited the return of Paul Bunyan, strange and beautiful symphony of sounds has filled the ears of the years. Sounds you can still hear if you listen real hard in the clear crispness of an early morning. Sounds that will ever echo against the granite shoulders of the mountains that guard my valley. The quiet voice of Father Francesco Garcias, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The clear, clipped voice of Juan Bautista de Anza. This is it. This is the valley I promised you. The gruff voice of Jedediah Strong Smith. End of the trail, make camp! The youthful, eager voice of Ewing Young. I'd never believe it if I didn't see it with my own eyes, Kit Carson. It's beautiful. The wild Indian War Whoops is the Utah chief named Walker spread destruction and misery in the wake of his raids. But the sturdy settlers weren't easily discouraged. They stayed, and more joined them, and they cursed the Indians who fell upon them in the night and disappeared before dawn down Walker's trail. They buried their dead and delivered their newborn. And more settlers came to my valley. Then the San Bernardino Rancho was born, 40,000 acres of it. The three Lugo sons and Diego Sepulveda banded all the ranches together and built a powerful defense against Indians and bandits. And my valley fought. Yes, a fort, and grew green. And then one day in April of 1848, 100 covered wagons left Salt Lake City in Utah and headed west. Their goal was the gold fields of Northern California. Covered wagons challenging the mighty Sierras. Covered wagons bogged in the snow, out of supplies, no longer looking for gold, looking for any pass that would lead them to safety. Jefferson Hunt, Mormon captain, leader of the bold adventure, changed his course. He turned south. But there weren't 100 wagons in the train that finally found my valley. For where there were those who wouldn't follow Jefferson Hunt, and these died in the scorching sun of a place that has never been known, has forever been known as Death Valley. So it was a pitiful sight that day when a broken, hungry group of Mormons came out of the hills and sighted San Bernardino Rancho. And it was a solemn voice that Jefferson Hunt sent heavenward as the Mormons fell on their knees about him. And he turned his face toward the bold blue that covers my valley. Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It was only a few more thaws before Jefferson Hunt went back to Salt Lake City and told his people about the Valley of Prosperity and Promise. And only one thaw later, he and 500 Mormons, emigrants with their cattle, horses, and supplies, returned again to San Bernardino Rancho. Here they purchased the rancho from the Lugos and founded the city of San Bernardino. And a fort was built, the mightiest fort in the West, throwing a challenge to everyone in every direction, to those red men and white men who menaced the peace of my valley. Well, sir, this valley of mine made the Mormons welcome, and they lived and prospered, and their sons were born. Then, quite suddenly, they were called back to the city by the Salton Sea. The snows have come and gone almost 100 times since the Mormons left my valley. But their part in its settlement and growth will always be evident, will be seen in every turn of the seasons. For the God of the Mormons smiles upon this valley, and the crops flourish, and the people are content. Oh, yes, the passing years have changed my countryside a little. The dusty trails are now ribbons of clean concrete. The little settlements are cities that have spread themselves comfortably under all the trees. And lately, the smoke of factories, the rumble of great presses, the majesty of steel radio towers have become a part of the picture I loved so well. With them has come a mighty number of new faces and voices, and steel rails carrying puffing giants of steam in a great rumble across the valley floor. Now, today, as I lean against the mountains and stretch my eyes across the verdant valley, the beauty of this wide and ever-changing western valley, I hear a big new voice. It is carried on an unseen beam to every nook and corner of my valley and beyond. It has its origin atop of three tall steel towers, and its voice is warm and clear. It is a new radio voice I hear, and it represents a network whose name is American. It will broadcast in a manner that is American, and it is dedicated to a service of, for, and by the large family of Americans who now inhabit my valley. I'm not one to be wasting my time trying to look into the future, but... Well, doggone it, I just this one time won't hurt anything, will it? In the long hallway of the years ahead, down which our children will walk, I can see my San Bernardino Valley keeping abreast of the ever-changing times. I can see a new era of prosperity in an age of unbelievable achievement. In an age when the voice of radio will play an ever-increasing part. Yes, and I can hear the people of my valley participating in this new radio voice that represents the network whose name is American. I can hear them in forums settling controversial issues in a democratic manner. I can hear them applauding the talent of their own children, talent that is finding itself through this radio outlet broadcasting in the manner that is American. I can hear my valley laughing at the nation's comedians enter their homes on the beam of this new radio voice. And I can hear them discussing the news of the day as it reaches them first on this clear new beam, uncolored, complete, and intelligently delivered. And without looking in the future at all, I can feel at this very moment the surge of pride that is in the heart of this valley of mine as it welcomes KITO and the American Broadcasting Company to its homes and its hearts. Somewhere in the deep forest of the far north, Paul Bunyan may be listening with his ear to the ground. And if you're listening, Paul Bunyan, I'm inviting you back to my valley. Ho, ho, ho! Listen to me, you great big overgrown muscle-bound lumberjack. Well, you see what's happened to my valley. Why, it's harder to believe than your tallest and lustiest story.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold. Say, it was mighty neighborly of you to drop in on us here at KITO on this day of our launching. Thanks again.
Don't mention it. Is this the time I talk now?
This is
all right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, being one of your neighbors, it's not only a great honor to have the privilege of appearing on this program, this inaugural program of your new radio station. I'm quite sure you're going to take advantage of all its facilities. I'm quite sure, as the good father said a few moments ago, that this broadcasting station will send out messages of hope to you. And after all, that's all we have to live for, and that is hope. These changing times are something that, well, they're so changeable, I think that we always must possibly look to a greater being than a radio station. But it'll come through you from this microphone, I'm sure, very often. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the inaugural broadcast of radio station KITO, the American Broadcasting Company's outlet for the Valley at San Bernardino. Heard on this program were Alice Rearick, accompanist, Sheldon Whipple, tenor, and Mr. Edward Arnold of radio, screen, and stage, whose appearance was made possible through the generosity of ABC's Mr. President program, to be heard on this station Thursday nights at 9, and also Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios in Hollywood.